So this morning we're going to start a new sermon series, and the title of this series is called Jesus the Storyteller. You know, for the next few weeks we're going to be looking at some of the stories that Jesus told to get his message across. You may otherwise know these as parables. They're called parables, but they're stories. And Jesus told stories, I believe, because it was a way for him to build relationships with others. It was a way for him to hang out with mankind. And also, he told his stories with analogies that people could relate to, like fishing, farming, shepherding, father-son relationships, family relationships, things of that nature, things that people would understand. And then they could relate the kingdom of God to what he was trying to explain to them. It was a way for him to get his message across in a relatable way. And after all, who doesn't like a good story, right? My family, always looks forward to Christmas Eve here at this church because Pastor Dave does one of his famous stories. And we always talk about what's the story going to be leading up to it. Of course, I have the inside track, but I never say I know what it is. But then when we visit extended family throughout the holidays, we talk about the story that was told. You know, a good story, even a bad story, but a good story has a way of sinking into our hearts. And it can stay with us for weeks, months, even years on end. And I believe that was one of the reasons that Jesus used storytelling to get his message across. Because he came to this earth to reveal to mankind who God is. He came to this earth to show mankind the love that God has for them. And he did that through stories. And so today, we will be looking at a story about a father and two sons. And the title of today's sermon is called Disrespectful, But At Least Honest. Right? Those of you that have children, right? At least the honesty counts for something. Disrespectful, but at least honest. And so we're going to be looking at a story in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21. So if you want to, go ahead and turn to Matthew, chapter 21. But I want to set the story up. So Jesus told this story within a week before he was crucified. At the beginning of Matthew 21, it tells the story of when Jesus rode on a donkey into the city of Jerusalem. And the people proclaimed him publicly as the Son of God. And he allowed them to do that. And they yelled, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Well, the Jewish religious leaders got very upset about this. Because the whole city was saying, you are the Son of God. And they're saying, there is no way this man could be the Son of God. He could not be the Son of God. Well, a little bit further into the chapter, then you see that they start challenging him by what authority they say. Do you allow everybody and do you do these things that you do in? And in typical Jesus fashion, he answers their question with a question. And they couldn't answer it. They wouldn't answer it. If we say this, he'll say that. If we say that, he'll say this. So they said, we don't know. And then Jesus leads into this story. And I kind of wonder if, like, Jesus didn't plan, like, hey, I'm going to tell this story about these two sons today. I believe the religious leaders tried to catch him in something, and then this story came out. So we begin with this story here. Jesus tells this story with two particular types of people in mind, both of which are in his audience right there. So Matthew chapter 21, and we start in verse 28. So Jesus says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it, and he went. Then he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, I will go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you. He's talking to the religious leaders here. He says, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterwards relent and believe him. John was John the Baptist, and this was Jesus' cousin. And he preached a message of repentance. He paved the way for Jesus to come. He kind of had like a turn or burn message. And then he would water baptize people. But his message was one of repentance. And Jesus is saying, listen, you religious leaders, he preached a message of righteousness and you didn't believe him. And you didn't regret the way you were living. And he tells the religious leaders, think of this. Think of high up religious leaders. And Jesus says, tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of God before you do. Well, back then, a little bit like today, tax collectors were the worst of the worst. But they were they robbed people, they stole from people, they were not considered very nice people. And harlots, well, you know, they were prostitutes. Maybe today we could say, Jesus would say, drug dealers and prostitutes, drug dealers and thieves and criminals and you know, those who we might consider to be, you know, the lower end of society because of the life they choose to live. Jesus says, they're going to enter the kingdom of God before you, righteous religious leaders, do. That was the message he had for them that day. The Father in this story is God. And the vineyard in this story are people who don't know God. You see, God is constantly calling people into his kingdom with the hopes that they too will go out and call people into his kingdom. God loves nothing more but to work with his people. He wants to see his kingdom fulfilled, and he wants to do it through us. And that's what this story is about. And with the religious leader standing right there, Jesus is saying, you are the son who said he would go do the Father's will, and you did not go. Because of your disobedience, who you consider the lowlifes, they will believe the message and enter into the kingdom of God before you do. You know, Jesus was not afraid to ruffle any feathers, and he was definitely not politically correct, and he was quite upset with the way the religious leaders were living their lives. This entire story is about God's will, doing God's will, doing the will of the Father. There's nothing more important to Jesus than doing God's will. I think to Jesus, that is the most important thing in life. You see, after all, it was the Father's will that Jesus come to earth to take our place on that cross, to die for us on that cross. It was the Father's will that he do that. And Jesus wholeheartedly accepted the task. Our sins, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, are forgiven. And if we choose to believe in him, we can live new lives, righteous lives, and know that we will enter the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was on that cross, he became our sin. He died on that cross. He was buried for 3 days, and then he rose back to life in a new body, a glorified body. That's because he is the only one to offer us forgiveness of sins, to offer us healing, to offer us a new life. You know, the Bible even says that the angels in heaven are amazed at how a person can be living one life this way and then turn to Jesus in belief in another way. Only Jesus can change a person's heart like that. So what exactly is it then about God's will that is so important to Jesus? Why is it so important to him? Well, Peter, in his second epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, when he's speaking of Jesus' return, because Jesus will come back to gather up the saints, to gather up his believers, and take us into the kingdom. Jesus said, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise of coming back. Instead, he is patient. He is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Whew. I am so glad that God is so patient. That's why it's so important. God's will is that nobody goes to their grave without getting to know him. Some people say, well, when's he going to return? When's Jesus coming back? He's taking his time. Why is it taking so long? Because of God's patience for mankind. So let's look at the two types of people represented in this story. The disrespectful son could be any one of us in this room. The disrespectful son was me at one time. I said, God, I'm living my own life. I don't need your help. I don't need anybody's help. I got this. I can do this all on my own. After many, many years of that, I began to regret some of the decisions that I was making. And I needed a little help in life. And I reached out to Jesus. And he gave me all the help that I needed. Picked me up, cleaned me off, and made me the person that I was originally created to be. That's who the disobedient son was, the disrespectful son. And actually, it was more like the Holy Spirit was just following me around saying, are you ready? Are you ready? And when I turned around, Jesus just said, he's back. He's in the kingdom now. I turned around and began following Jesus. And then over a period of time, he began to teach me who I was created to be. And all those old habits and things that I was doing began to fall by the wayside. And life was good. Life is good. And for those of us who can relate to what I'm saying, you're like, yeah, I was that son too at one time. Then we need to be working in the vineyard. We need to be calling other people into the kingdom. We need to be saying, listen, Jesus loves you. There's a better life for you. In his letter to the Corinthians, there's a guy named Paul that wrote this letter to the Corinthians. It's up on the screen here, but I want to read it from the Bible just because it makes me feel like I'm teaching it straight from the Bible. But I love this because this backs up working in the vineyard. Here's what Paul was telling the Corinthians. We then, as workers together with him, we are working together with Jesus, is what he's saying. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The time is now, today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month. Maybe, you know, in a year I'll be ready. Now, today. Paul said we are working together with Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. And the thing is, we all have a part to play. We all have somebody in our lives, a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody we met in the store or the restaurant who doesn't know Jesus. That is the vineyard. We need to be able to point people to Jesus and say there's a better way. And also, just as a little side note here, if you are sitting here and you sense, man, I think a change needs to take place. I'm not even sure why I'm here today, but I think I do now. Today is the day. And we'll take some time for that later on in the service. Don't put it off. I'm telling you, Jesus has the best life that he can offer. Amen? And telling people, here's another thing, all right? Telling people about Jesus, it can be intimidating. It can be a little nerve-wracking, but it's something that God wants us to do. And let me let you in on a little something. Here's what I do. I'm not worried about where I'm going to come up with all the Bible verses to tell this person. I'm not worried about debating with somebody about the Bible. I'm not a good debater, so I'm not even going to go down that road. I'm not even worried about having the right answers for somebody. You know where I start? I start by telling them a story about something that God has done for me. That's all you got to do. There's not a person in this room, I don't think, at least it happened to me numerous times, when somebody is telling me something, a situation they're going in life, and they're struggling with something, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, yep, I know exactly what you're feeling and where you're at, and there's my opening. You know what God did for me once I was in your shoes? Here's what he did for me. But that's it. No pressure. And it's up to them to either accept it or reject it. It's all you got to do. I think sometimes we just put too much pressure on ourselves. I don't know where, you know, John 3:16, everybody knows that verse, but I tried to say it once. Don't put any pressure on yourself. Just let it happen, and it will flow. We all have a story to tell. We all have something that God has done for us that is like, yes, thank you, God. And we can share that. Now, let's take a look at the respectful son in the story. He said he would go do the Father's will, and then he never did it. Jesus looks right at the religious leaders and he says, you are that son. You are the one who said you would do the Father's will and you didn't do it. You see, the thing is, the Jewish people were waiting for their Messiah. They were waiting for the Son of God to come to earth, and there he is standing in front of them, and they were so mad because he was not who they thought he would be. He didn't represent the kingdom of God the way they thought it should be represented, and they hated him. Jesus looks at them and says, you are the ones, because you were the chosen people of God to proclaim this message to all the earth. You said you would do it, and you didn't. Turns out, they were the very ones to have him nailed to the cross later on that week. If we receive God's saving grace and we want and accept all that he has to offer, we got to be working in the vineyard. We have to be telling other people about him. And again, I just want to clarify this. You know, if you're somebody and you're sitting here and you're like, man, I really love Jesus. But I have a hard time telling people about him. I put so much pressure on myself. Let me make a suggestion. Be honest with Jesus about it. And make this your prayer. Jesus, would you please help me find creative ways to point people to you? Would you please help me do that? Because you know I have a hard time doing that. Would you help me be creative? You know what I believe? I believe he will honor that. Because what I believe is God appreciates our honesty. He appreciates our honesty. And then what happens is you will find yourself telling people things that God has done for you. Or you'll find yourself in situations where you're going to walk away and go, I just pointed somebody to Jesus. I didn't even realize I did that. Because the Holy Spirit will help create in you opportunities and creative ways to do it. And it will just flow. And your adventure with him, trust me, is going to be off the charts. And you're going to want to do it more. Pointing people to Jesus is so fun because you know that he can help them and they need it. Now, the respectful son in the story represents those who love Jesus with all their heart, and that's as far as it goes. They don't tell people about him. There's no working in the vineyard. There's no joining a small group. There's no helping those in the faith. There's no becoming a part of something that's happening in the church. It's, I love Jesus, and that is it. And I think we have to be careful about that. I think we have to be careful about going down that road in life. But my prayer today is that everybody here today says yes to what it is that you sense God has you doing. What it is that you sense God might want you to be doing. And walk into that. Pointing people to the kingdom of God can be the most exciting thing that happens. Now, See, so here's case in point. I'm not sure exactly where it's at, but there is a verse that says the angels are amazed at how a human being can be going one way and repent, follow Jesus, and go another. They're amazed at the change of heart that takes place. That is called salvation. So in closing, this story is all about doing God's will. The religious leaders were so upset with Jesus because he allowed the people to proclaim him as the Son of God. And I think Jesus spent, you know, so much time alone with God, like Pastor Dave talked last week. I think unbeknownst to Jesus, it's just me talking here. I think unbeknownst to him, this story just came out. And he's like, well, what do you think? And then he starts telling this story. So this story is all about doing the will of God. But also, it's all about how much God appreciates our honesty. The disrespectful son said, I'm not going to do what you want, Dad. I don't want to do it. I want to go live my life. And then he regretted it. He turned around. He came back and he did the will of the Father. The respectful son said all the right things, and then he went off and didn't have any intentions on doing the will of the Father. The story applies to all of us today. We're all commanded to work in the vineyard and point others to him. I mean, after all, if God has given me the life that he's given me, why wouldn't I want to share that? Why would I keep that to myself? People need that. The vineyard is all around us. We all have people in our lives that don't know God. And one day, we will all come face to face with Jesus. And he's going to ask, did you do my Father's will? What we say will be important, but what we do will be more important. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you for all that you have to offer for us. I thank you, Jesus, that in the last week of your life here on this earth to show mankind the goodness of God, you challenged us with a story like this. And I thank you, Jesus, that the will of the Father is something that we can all partake in. We can all point people to you and say, look, there's a better way. I thank you for the changed life in myself. I thank you that you saw past all the things that I was doing. And you said, I still love you. I love you no matter what. I love you so much, I'm going to allow myself to be nailed to a cross. Jesus is saying that to each one of us here today. I love you so much, that's what I did for you. Come on, man, don't keep it to yourself. Share my love with others. And I thank you for that, God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So we'll have our ushers come forward and we'll take our offering, and then we'll take some time here to sing a few songs. You know, Jesus does change everything. And so what I want to do right now is just give an opportunity for those that, if you were here, I mean, if you were here, you are here. For those of you that were listening to the message, and you felt that there was a change needed in your life, and you feel like today is the day because you do not want to put it off, and you want to say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to become a part of what you have for me. I want to become a part of this family, a part of your kingdom. You know, I'm going to ask you here in a couple minutes, just raise your hand and let me know where you're at. And then I want to pray for you. And I'm telling you, it's the best adventure that you'll ever have in life. Nothing would compare to that. Nothing can compare to the life that God has for us. And so is there anybody in here today that feels like, you know, today is the day that I want to make a change? Can I see where you're at? Show me a hand. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Two ladies up here. Thank you, God. Anybody else? Today's the day. No, today is the day. Another hand. Amen. Thank you, God. Just keep moving, Lord. That what you're feeling is the Holy Spirit of God saying, I got something better for you. Anybody else today? Anybody else feel that? Anybody else feel that in your heart? Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, church, join with me. For those of you that raised your hand, we're just going to pray a simple little prayer. Just say it with me here. Lord Jesus, I thank you for getting my attention today. And I thank you for helping me realize that change needs to be made. I invite you into my life to help me be the person you created me to be. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, those of you that raised your hand, thank you so much. And welcome to the kingdom of God. The Lord has an adventure for you. And also, what I would like to encourage is, look up on the screens when we do our welcome. We have that Next Step class, and it's November 25th at 6 p.m. That will get you into your adventure.